Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, the pastor's going to pick on you today. Now look at your other neighbor and say, you look like you've lost some weight. Come on. Lie to them if you have to. All right, we'll pray the prayer of repentance at the end of the service if you have to, had to lie to them a little bit. All right, amen. Well, who's happy to be in the house of the Lord on the 14th of November? Amen. The Bible says, "I was happy, or I was glad, when they said unto me, 'Let's go into the house of the Lord.'" And I tell you what, if you came in here grumpy, I believe today the joy of the Lord can be your strength. If you came in with sickness in your body, I believe the healer is in the room today. Amen. If you came in bound and brokenhearted, I believe today there is a miracle in store for you, the God of deliverance. Amen. And so I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord today. And we are starting a brand new series called The Beatitudes. And you may think that we spelled it wrong, but I told Lucas, no, I want it to be an attitude. Because how many of y'all know we live in a world today full of attitudes? And I hope you see something in this text today in Matthew chapter 5 coming from the Sermon on the Mount. That is probably one of the most famous sermons of all. How many of y'all know no T.D. Jakes has preached the most influential sermon of all time? No John Osteen, Joel Osteen, no person out there on YouTube. Jesus preached the greatest, right? And in this Sermon on the Mount, we love it. These eight Beatitudes, or some scholars say nine Beatitudes. But he preaches, and there's lots of good things that we see in here. From where your heart is, there your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, I'm the light of the world, the salt of the earth. There's so many things that we use in our context of word today that we see from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And as I begin to study this out and think about the humanity of the world and where we are today and the attitude that people have, I see something in these texts here that if we begin to do this, I believe revival will come to the land. I believe revival will come in your heart. How many of y'all believe if revival is going to come to the church, it first has to happen in you? And when it happens in us, I believe one can put 1,000 flight to 10,000. And I believe we serve a God that still does creative miracles. I believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm telling you, if he walked on water then, he can still do it today. Amen. I believe if the withered hand can come forth, the withered hand can come today in November 14, 2021. I believe, I'm telling you, the man at the pool of Bethesda, I believe those things can still happen today. But what I see in the world, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a challenging series because it goes countercultural to where the world we live in today. See, our culture would not tell you to be poor in spirit. In fact, our culture would tell you not to be poor at all, especially the culture that we live in Amarillo, Texas, or in America. Our culture would not tell you it's not good to mourn. Our culture would not tell you it's not good to be meek. They may tell you that, but they show you something different behind the scenes. They definitely would not tell you that it's great to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But as over the next couple of weeks, especially coming into Thanksgiving and the end of the year, I want us to really reflect and see some things in this text, because today we live in a world that if you're not open to it, if you're blind to it, I'll go ahead and open your eyes. We live in a system today that's trying to get you to focus on the government to help you and bail you out. I can't speak for other countries, but I can speak for America. But all the things that are happening in our world today, they're trying to butter you up to whatever they says goes. Whatever this says goes. I figured I'd get more amens than that from the Americans out there. Whatever this says goes. And so I see so many, I see things that come across the news, and just being out and about and talking to people, I get really worried about the humanity and where we're going as a culture. Can I tell you this? System won't change hearts. Laws won't change hearts. Only Jesus can change hearts. Amen. And so I want to read this to you, and I really believe this. As we begin to study this, I believe revival will begin to happen to you because you'll begin to be reminded of some things. It says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," aren't you thankful that we serve a God that's always pursuing us, always teaching us what's best for our life? He says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We all know we live in a world that's so full of judgment today, we need a little bit more mercy in our world. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." He said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." If you haven't seen the Beatitudes, or if you haven't seen this movie Chosen, I'm going to read one more scripture to you in Matthew chapter 7 at the very end. But in the show, The Chosen, and it may not be historically right because the Bible says there was a multitude there. But in that episode in Chosen, when Matthew comes to him, he begins to ask him questions and he begins to write out these Beatitudes and write these particular scriptures down. He shares all these. "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are merciful," and all so on and so forth. Matthew goes, "Well, where are you going to be?" He said, "Find somebody who's doing these and you'll find me." In Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." You know why they were astonished? Because it was totally contradictory of everything they were being taught in the world today. Can I tell you, we should be astonished at these things as well, because it's contradictory of what the world would teach you as well. "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." I believe this. I believe that just like Matthew said it, or it's Matthew asked him that. He says, "Where you find somebody operating in these, you will find me." And I believe this, God has much more in store for you than you realize. How many of y'all believe in 2 Corinthians, it says that we should go from glory to glory. In Romans, it says we should go from faith to faith. Amen? The Bible tells us this, that with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. See, at the beginning of 2020, I preached 10 messages on faith, didn't know that the world would go crazy. And that we would need faith to stay strong. But how many of y'all believe God wants you to go from glory to glory to faith to faith? See, when you're first saved, you still see things on an earthly perspective. But as you go from glory to glory and being in his likeness from faith to faith, you no longer have the eyes of man through the earth, but you begin to see a heavenly perspective. That God has something much more broad for me. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he shows me of things not only of now, but of things to come. How many of y'all thankful for the Lord today? But there's two things about the text that I want to point out in the Beatitudes. He says, "Blessed if you do this, for it will bring something else." And so in my text in King James, it says blessed. Maybe in your translation, it says happy. Now, happy is a good word because we all like to be happy. How many of y'all know we need some more happy people today at Walmart, at United, more happy people across the waves of the internet and on our Facebook page. But happy is not a good word to put in this because the word happy comes from the Greek word hap, which means happenings, which means this: when the happenings are right, that means you have joy inside of your heart. But how many of y'all know there's something between there's something difference between being happy and having joy? Because you can have circumstances all around you and still have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. Hap comes from happy that the happenings are right. Your football team's winning. Your wife is happy with you. Come on, your kids aren't acting goofy as bed bugs, and you're happy. But the minute you put your happiness in those circumstances that could change from minute to minute, you will lose a joy that passes away. But he's saying blessed, which is a better word for this. You're free from earthly cares or struggles, that no matter what goes on, I still have a relationship with the Lord. No matter what the doctor tells me, I'm still the healed of the Lord. No matter what my bank account tells me, God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I still have an eternal joy on the inside of me. But what's interesting to me is we look at happiness in all the right, wrong places. Looking for happiness in all the wrong places, don't we? We look at it in a car or a pickup or a boat or a horse or a house or a barn or a tractor and all these things. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that God doesn't want you to have those things. Because the Bible tells us this, that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. He wants you to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. He wants you to be blessed in all those things. But what he's looking at, he's saying true blessing won't come from the tractor. True blessing won't come from the boyfriend or the girlfriend or from the kid or from the marriage. It's in all the unlikely places that we never look, like being poor in spirit, like being somebody who mourns, somebody that meeks, that has meekness about them, one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Are you seeing this morning? And when you do those things, you'll be blessed. But at the end it says, and this can be yours, like the kingdom of heaven. You'll be comforted. You'll inherit the earth. Don't you know this? When I read this, I've already said this, but God has much more for you than just salvation. I see people that got saved 10 years ago, and you can see that's all they operate in is God saved them. And God needs to save them every second of every day from the things that come out of their mouth and the things that they do. Right? But how many of y'all know God not only wants to save your life and give you salvation, he wants to save your marriage. He wants to save your body. He wants to save your kids that are walking in darkness, that they come back to the land of the living. What parent am I talking to this morning that they come back? With long life, he will satisfy you and show you your salvation. God wants you to live a life of potential and purpose. He has much more in store for you than just answering the altar call and giving your life to the Lord. That's where it begins, but there's so much more. I'm talking about having an internal joy, and you need to get revelation of what God has intended for you. And as I begin to study these out and look at these in particular and what they mean, be here next week for those who mourn. Be here the week after for the meek. Especially in the attitude of the world we are today, we need to have the right attitudes, especially during the week of Thanksgiving and Christmas. But he's saying, be attitudes. If you have these attitudes, I'm telling you, a blessing will come over your life. And so he says, and I believe this is the most important one, because if you don't get this one, you'll have a hard time getting the other ones. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, I saw this, and I can't explain to you how the Greek works, but this word poor has three different Greek meanings, three different Greek words. But the Greek word that was used for this means two different meanings. It means you don't have enough, meaning talking about money or possessions and things of this world. But that wasn't the meaning of the text. The meaning of this word, blessed are the poor in spirit, it means this, someone who is completely destitute. Someone who has absolutely nothing. You want to have the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you? You need to realize this. You were completely destitute before the Lord got a hold of you. So just to open your eyes to this text here, in the Amplified Classic, Matthew 5:3, it says, blessed, happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Regardless of their outward conditions are the poor in spirit, the humble who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3, New Living Testament. Let's look at this. God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Look at God's Word translation. I love this one too. Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless without the Lord. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. You know what? I can prophesy and boldly tell you that most Americans, and especially people in the Bible Belt, don't realize how poor they really are. We have things. We're incredibly blessed, but people, can I tell you, I would venture to say that 80% of this world would trade places with you right here in the panhandle of Texas any day of the week. Any day of the week. See, we will never depend on something we don't think that we need. We live in a culture that we don't think that we need the Lord because we have so many other things going for us. And I'm here to tell you, you may be experiencing hell on earth inside of your marriage if you don't realize to put him first inside of your marriage and be poor in spirit. And so on and so forth. And so looking at this text, I begin to think about times where people were destitute and they didn't realize they had anything, and revival would begin to happen. And the thing that I thought of the most was September 11th, 2001. I'll never forget where I was. Southwestern Assembly of God in Waxahachie, Texas. I was in the Old Testament class. The dean of the college comes into the room and says, a bomb just went off at the World Trading Center in New York City. You guys remember where you were? I'm going to tell my story. Where were you when the world stopped turning? I remember exactly where I was. So I go up to my dorm room. My two roommates are not in there. They're inside taking a shower, went inside the bathroom there, and I just yelled out, guys, we got to go. We're going to a chapel that happens at 11 o'clock. This was in the morning. We're going to a chapel, and it's going to be corporate. The whole Bible school is going to get together, pray, and worship because a bomb just went off at the World Trade Center in New York City. So they come in. I remember we turn on the television. As soon as we turned it on, the second plane went boom right into the side of the building. And I remember just looking at that like, what in the world? This is America. I mean, I wasn't very old, but I was old enough to know this, that this doesn't happen in America. People don't come against Americans. Americans is in God we put our trust, right? I remember going to that chapel and people crying out, young people, college age kids, crying out to the Lord, totally destitute before the Lord. Thing that got the most attention to me was on Sunday. That happened earlier in the week, if you remember. On that Sunday, I played bass for a church that had two services. And I remember the early service, the piano player came to me and he said this, have you gone out and looked at the crowd? And I remember looking through the curtain, and 30 minutes before church at a 9 o'clock service, the place was completely packed. People were laying in the floor. People were standing up along the sides. Why? Because they didn't know where it came from and they didn't know where we're going from here. They knew this, that we're completely destitute without the Lord. And no government, no F-16 bomber, no M-16 gun, no grenade that we have is going to get us out of this mess. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And can I tell you today, revival happened inside of that church, boomed and boomed and boomed, till they forgot who got them out of the mess. You want to experience heaven on earth? I'm telling you, we need to come back to a place that we're totally destitute without the Lord. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the Lord. You know what I love about mission trips? It gives you a little bit of perspective. Because when we drive down I-40 and have 400 different places that we can eat at, it's really hard to be poor in spirit. Just going to be honest. But when you go to some places like Africa, Pastor, I told the story this morning. I remember when we showed up in the sticks of the jungle in Uganda with monkeys flying in the trees. People had been under the stage for several days praying, right? And pastor's preaching. I'll never forget this. I remember being there. This is when Pastor chewed Trident gum. And we took, 400 packs to Africa. And I'd grab a piece of gum from him, and then I'd give the whole pack away because there was kids there that had never had gum, and they were 15 years old. And so I remember being pastor was preaching and the sound went out. You remember that? Sound went out. So I go to the back. I'd already led worship. I go to the back and there's this boy. He's probably 8 years old. He has no clue what I'm saying in English to him. And he starts moving around. Well, this I don't know how electricity works, but I knew this pack had blown up. And so he begins to get wires. He gets all these wires and he puts them in the middle and he tells me to step back. He got this stick from the jungle. He goes, he shoves this stick down in there. Sparks go everywhere, sets the stick on fire, and we had sound, baby. You remember that? I was like, wow, this is impressive. But can I tell you about people that's never chewed bubble gum before, that knows how to work on converters and probably shocked themselves 400 million different times, have absolutely nothing compared to you and me. They could not call electrician. They don't call plumbers. They don't live in the same place. These people are happier than you and me as Americans. I'm just going to be honest. They have absolutely nothing. Why? Because they've come to a place that blessed are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. They're living heaven on earth. They may not have all the things that we have. They may not have all the possessions that we have. But what they do have is an internal joy, because they know everything that we do have, from the breath that I breathe and the little shack that I live in, it comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Come on, I'm here to remind us this morning. If you're feeling woe is me from the place that you are, maybe you got in a tiff with your wife, you got a tiff with your husband, maybe you got in a tiff with the president watching the television this morning like I did, but here's the deal. We all need to be reminded. If it wasn't for him, we'd have nothing. We all need to be reminded. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the children that we have. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be living this luxurious life that we have. I'm telling you, we ought to thank God. You ought to take a moment right now to praise him, because he's still on the throne and that he's still alive today. You need to get a perspective. See, it's hard for us to get that perspective. See, in Revelation, as I was thinking about this, the Lord reminded me, Revelation 1, 2, and 3, Jesus is speaking. He's having a revelation, John, the Apostle John, on the island of Patmos. And he comes and he begins to speak to him. In fact, you'll see in Revelations 1, 2, and 3 that it's mostly red writing, because it's Jesus speaking to him. And he begins to unveil all these churches. And I almost talked about the church at Ephesus, which was a powerhouse of a church. And he said, you've done great works, you've done great deeds, but one thing where you've messed up is you forgot to love me. We get so caught up. Do we not? We got caught up in the ministry. We get caught up doing the things. We get caught up working. We know that God gave us this business that we run. But if we're not careful, we'll spend so much time keeping the business open that we'll forget to love the Lord. And can I tell you, never stop loving the Lord. But and that's the loveless church, the church at Smyrna, the church at Philadelphia, Thyatira, all of these. There's five that got a good report. There's two that got a bad report. And there's people that asked me during that message, said, which church is us? And I say, all of them. The persecuted church, the faithful church, the loveless church, the lukewarm church. I mean, you know, we've been all of them. And so he's just painting a picture to the church of today. And in Revelation 3:15, he's talking to the church at Laodicea, and he speaks to them in their terms. Because on one hill of Laodicea was a city called Hierapolis. And Hierapolis was known for its hot springs out of the ground that brought healing to people's bodies. I mean, y'all know, like a hot bath. And on one side of Laodicea was the city of Colossae, and it was known for its fresh springs of cold water that came off of the mountains when it snowed, and it made cool water, and they liked to go there during the summertime, and it was a refreshing water. Well, the king of Laodicea, at one time, he had it piped in, the cold water from Colossae and the hot springs water from Hierapolis. And so it was known inside of that city. But what happened when they came through the aqueduct, the hot water did, by the time it got to them, it was lukewarm. And by the time it got from Colossae, the refreshing cold water, it was lukewarm going through those pipes. And so when people tasted it, they not only tasted the water that was lukewarm, but all the things that were from those pipes inside of there, and it was nasty, and they spewed it out of their mouth. But now God's speaking to them in the natural, like he's speaking to you and me today. And he's saying, I know you understand this, but and I would talk about food. I said this in the first service. I like hot food, and I like cold food, and I like lukewarm food. I just like food. Amen. But talking about coffee, I like hot coffee, and I like nitro-brewed cold coffee. But one kind of coffee I don't like is lukewarm coffee. Can I get an amen? And so in this particular text to them, he says this, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. I just want to point this out. He said, I know your works. I know that you work in the children's church. I know that you're a part of the hospitality team inside of the church. I know you've helped down at the arena. I know that you fix sandwiches for the kids at VBS. I know that you've done this, and I know that you've done that. But that you are neither cold nor hot, I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is the Lord speaking. How many of y'all know we either got to be hot or we got to be cold, but the lukewarm one, he don't like it all. He's saying you may be hot on Sunday morning doing your deeds of all the things that you're supposed to do in the house of God, but I see you on Monday and I see you on Tuesday and I see you on Wednesday and you've lost your fire, you've lost your passion, and you're not living for the things of the kingdom but living for the things of this world. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. I didn't say it, the Lord did. It says in verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, it doesn't matter what we say, it matters what God says. He says, because you keep on bragging, I am rich, wealthy, influential, richest of all, and have endowed myself with vast goods and resources, and have absolutely no need of anything whatsoever. See, lots of times when people become blessed, they forget where it came from. And we all need a Savior. How many of y'all believe there is more people that is blind to the truth today than ever before? And I see this in this text of Laodicea, but I see it not only then, but I see it now. So just to bring us into perspective of blessed are the poor in spirit to be destitute, to bring us back to remembrance of we'd have nothing if it wasn't for the Lord, I want to just point out four different things. You ready? Number one is this. Without Jesus, I'd pay for my own sins. You know what hell is full of? Hell is full of people that have to pay for their own sins. You know what hell is full of? That he's paid the price for you and me, and we have accepted that. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I've said it before, if you work for McDonald's, you get a paycheck from McDonald's. If you work for Target, you get a paycheck from Target. If you work for the world, you get the paycheck of death. But God reversed it for you and me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's be reminded of Ephesians chapter 2. Would you go there with me? Ephesians chapter 2, Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus here. And he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were like a zombie walking. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. How many of y'all can honestly say that you walked according to the course of the world? You talked the way the world talked. You walked the way the world walked. You listened to the things the world listened to, and you watched the things the world watched. And it says, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's not talking about the White House. He's talking about you and me. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Woo! Come on. You ought to take another moment and praise the Lord. I tell my kids all the time, they'll go, but dad. I said, I'm not but dad. I'm just dad. But I love this right here. It says, but God. That means it changes the whole other direction, right? Who is rich in mercy. What is mercy? It's not getting what you deserve. You deserve death. You deserve going to hell. You deserve the penalty of everything that comes from that. Do you not? But because of his mercy, how many of y'all thankful for the mercy of God? Mercy, mercy. Mercy came running. I love it. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. See, grace is getting something you didn't deserve, but he gave it to you anyway. Amen? He gave you peace when you didn't deserve it. He gave you everlasting life when you didn't deserve it. Come on, he gave you good things, the good things of the Lord. Yes and amen. And when you get revelation of this, without Jesus, you have to pay for your own sins. When you get revelation of this, because of Jesus, I don't have to pay the payment. I'm telling you, you will worship differently. Amen? You will pray differently. You will read the word of God differently. I was a scumbag, no good, lily-livered piece of garbage, but with Christ on the inside of me, I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. Come on, we need to be reminded of these things today. But God, who is rich in mercy, I'm telling you, I was worthless. I had no purpose, but God, what he did for us. The second thing is this. Without Jesus, I'll just make it. Right? I'll just make it. You know what so many people do? Well, this is just who I am. This is just who we are. Right? I've been this way from the beginning and I changeth not. You can call me Jesus. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I came into this world being a grouchy old fart, and I'll go out of this world a grouchy old fart. Come on. We've been talking about James, those of you that have been on in the mornings. I've been talking about strife. Listen, you may have been raised in a home of strife, but that needs to stop when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you. You may have been raised in a home of drama, but that can end with you. But I see so many people, they've been saved for years. They still can't tame the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know before it comes out of your mouth whether it's going to bring joy into your life or cursing into your life. And there's so many people, see, without Jesus, I just make it. See, without Jesus, I look at Pastor Shannon here, I see somebody that would not say a word to anybody and live in a VW van down by the river. Carrie, would you give me an amen for that? She agrees with me. But because of Jesus on the inside of him, I'm telling you, when he gets up here, at first he may have not been confident, but you know what? Wisdom comes out of his mouth. He speaks. He runs Life Challenge. All the things that he does, would you honestly say it's not you, but it's Christ on the inside of you doing the things that you do? I see that happen to so many people. They may not have the gifting to do something, but God on the inside of them changes them. Listen, you might be out there and you say this, Pastor Luann, she's an introvert by trade. But God, how many of y'all have been impacted by the ministry and the influence that God has done through her? Amen. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You can have heaven on earth. See, you don't have to live. Even though your grandpappy's pappy's pappy was a scumbag, it ends with you, with Christ on the inside of you. You can have heaven on earth. You may come from a family that was broke. You couldn't even afford. I mean, you were broke. You couldn't even afford the E on the end. You were just broke, you know. Completely broke. That ends with you. Without Jesus, I just make it by. But with Jesus, he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, I'm trying to paint a picture to you. You are completely destitute if it wasn't for the Lord. you'd be nobody. You'd be shriveled up, worthless to society. Galatians 5:22 says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. And you know what? You may come from a family that is not gentle at all, but listen, that can end with you because of Christ in you. You may come from a family that it was not love at all, but you know what? You begin to read the word. You begin to worship God. He begins to rub off on you from faith to faith, to glory to glory. You no longer see things on man's eyes, but you see things through the eyes of God. And you not only, you stop having an earthly perspective and a heavenly perspective. I'm telling you right now, there is something in the Lord that you can have heaven here on this earth. 1 Peter 2:24. We all know this text. We all quote the end of it. But listen to what it says. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Amen. Verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray. Go ahead and lift your hand if you were a sheep going astray. You were bad. But now, listen, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. See, at one time we may have been separated from him, but now we're in a relationship with him. Come on, we just got to come to the place where we're destitute. If it wasn't for him, we'd have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Are you getting it this morning? I hope you are. Here's the next one. Here's the third one. Number one, without Jesus, I pay for my own sins. Number two, without Jesus, I just make it. Number three, without Jesus, you will try to create your own life. The biggest question that I get asked is, what is the will of God for my life? And I've said it once and I will say it again. You know what I found? As I was just submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As I was just submitted to the Lord, doors of opportunity have opened up for me. I've been in the right place at the right time with the right people serving a good God. I'm telling you, there's so many, what's my will? What's the will of God for my life? What's the purpose of God for my life? See, the world would tell you, no, you got to do this. You've got to do that. The world would tell you, and I'm not knocking the system of things, but you've got to go to college. You've got to get a degree. This is the way that you do it. And you know what? That may be the way for some, but that's not for everyone. I like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Plans of good and not of evil. How many of y'all know the plan that he has for us is the best plan? See, without Jesus, you will try to create your own life. I love this text in Matthew or in Acts chapter 17. Paul's talking, it's a great message on Mars Hill, and he's talking to these people. They were talking about his God as being the unknown God. But he said, this comes out of his mouth, and this is a great text. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and he breathe all things. Verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our beings. How many of y'all thankful that in him we live, we move, and we have our beings in him? So without Jesus, you will try to create your own life. Here's the last thing, John, if you want to go ahead and come to play, is without Jesus, I'm living for a joy that goes away. I hope you get that. Get it in your heart today. Without Jesus, I'm living for a joy that goes away. 1 Peter 1:3-4, and I'm going to read it out of the NLT. It says this, or NIV. So I like the way it said it. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, and never fade." Can I tell you this? Your inheritance, and thank God for your inheritance that you may get from your mom or dad or grandparents, aunt, uncle, whoever it is. But can I tell you, money perishes, spoils, and fades. The car that's been covered up for 50 years, that's an antique and everybody loves. Can I tell you, that car, it'll fade, it'll perish, it'll spoil. Earthly things of this earth, and I love them, and I say from the very beginning, I believe God gives us the desires of our heart. I believe that. But when that desire over that becomes over him, that's when it's scary for you and me. The things that you love, you put time, you put energy into, they spoil, they fade, they perish. I got sideswiped on I-40 a little over a week ago. My pickup's in the truck. It's in the shop. What did I say? In the truck. It's one of them little bitty ones. Little Tundra, Hot Wheels. Well, thank you, honey. But you know, when it happened, it was scary. And the lady that hit me, she was so freaked out. I said, "I'm just thankful everybody's okay." You know, she said, "Well, I got in a wreck 2 months ago, and that guy was super mad at me." I'm like, "Well, maybe you should stop driving if this is 2 months in a row." That's the first thing that came to my mind. I did say it. "Well, maybe you should stop driving." I really did say that. I had to repent afterwards. But here's the deal. That pickup that I drive, it'll perish, spoil, and fade. But the only reason that I have that is because of him. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? I may have joy that comes from that, but the only reason that I have it is because it's from him. So the joy doesn't come from the truck. The joy comes from him. It says this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You know what your inheritance ought to be to give to your kids? It's to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. You know what the best inheritance that you can give to your children is? To impact their love of their impact them of the love that you have for the Lord. And if it wasn't for him, you'd have nothing. Robbie, I'd have nothing if it wasn't for God. Bobby, I'd have nothing if it wasn't for the Lord. I'd have nothing if it wasn't for God. One last thing, talking about peace, or talking about joy. I am living for joy that goes away. I want to read one more scripture to you. John chapter 15 and verse 8. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." Verse 10, pay attention. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." But verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." You know why we have joy? It's when we keep his commandments and we love the Lord. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. I don't have to share it to you in the Greek or in the Hebrew. I just have to share that if you want joy in your life that doesn't pass away, live by his commandments, live by his truth. We're completely destitute if it wasn't for the Lord. So I just want to leave it with you as this. If you're having hell on earth in your marriage, if you're having hell on earth at work, if you're having hell on earth maybe in your body. Come on, if you want to experience heaven on earth, we need to come back to the place. We'd have nothing if it wasn't for God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's all stand to our feet. And I believe it's this. I believe the attitude that we can leave, I'm blessed are the poor in spirit, the attitude that we need to have today as moms, as dads, as grandparents, as Americans, is this. The attitude is this. I need Jesus. Now, I say it again. I don't think y'all heard it over here. They heard it over here. You know what the attitude we need today in 2021? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Amen. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room today, I just feel impressed to do this. This is the kickoff. This is the first one. And you see how it's the most important one. But you say, you know what? I've been so blessed that I forgot where the blessing comes from. I've been so blessed that I forgot that it's the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Oh, I had to repent myself. I promise you I did as I begin to study this out and say, Lord, I want to be at a place that I'm completely destitute. That I'd have nothing if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have the home that I live in if it wasn't for you, God. I wouldn't have my children if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have my wife if it wasn't for you. Come on, you ought to tell the Lord that. I wouldn't have the opportunities that I have if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have the gifts and callings on my life if it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have the freedom that I live in if it wasn't for you. Lord, I'd still be bound in the sin. Still be bound up in the things that I tried to get rid of on my own. And it's because of you that you did it. Lord, forgive me of times where I thought it was me that brought healing to somebody. Lord, it was you. Lord, forgive me if it was my wisdom that I poured into somebody that wisdom that set them free. God, it wasn't my wisdom. It was the wisdom you gave me. Lord, we just seek, we desire revival in the land. But Lord, we know this. Revival can only happen if it happens in us. And Lord, we know it won't happen in us if we're not looking to you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Come on, just tell the Lord. If this hit home to you today, how you'd be lost if you've taken your focus off of him. Today's the day to put your focus back on him. Put your focus back on him. Put your focus back on him. Come on, put your focus back on him. I'm telling you, the things that he can do, no man can. The doors that he can open, no man can shut. Once he shuts, no man can open. That's the key of David. Come on, just let the Lord minister to you in places in your life. God, I've taken my focus off of you. But God, today, I'm getting it right. Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.